today. Let me just first begin with a issue that raised by many Mefarshim. If you look at Perek Lamites in Pekudei, you know that Vayakel and Pekudei are essentially re-articulating what we saw earlier in Truma Tetzaveh. Truma, as you know, is the parsha that deals with the building of the Mishkan and the Klei HaMishkan. Tetzaveh talks about the big Nikuna. And now in Vayakel and Pekudei, once again, essentially what we have here in these two parshas, in Vayakel you have the construction of the Mishkan. Many, many times the Torah mentions Kasher Siwa Hashem es Moshe. They carried out exactly what Moshe Rabbeinu directed. And then in Pekudei you have the Mishkan emerging. And you also as well have in Pekudei, I'll call it the consecration of the Mishkan, that is to say the Meshicha of the Kelim, of the Klei HaMishkan, the anointing of the Klei HaMishkan, and as well the anointing of Aaron HaKohen and his children. They were inducted into the Kehuna, and that's essentially what we have over here. There's a pasuk that is very troubling. My father Shalom was very troubled by this pasuk. Perek Lamites in Pekudei, Sukkot Mem Beis Mem Gimel. Again, the stress of Kasher Tziva Hashem es Moshe is underscored and accentuated many, many times in the parsha. The reason is because the Ibn Ezra points out there's one distinction between the Egel and the Mishkan. What's the distinction? One is the Tziva Hashem and one is not the Tziva Hashem. That's quite a fundamental distinction. And that's why what we do is Asher Ki Nishanu V'Mitzvesa V'Tzivanu. We have to follow the Tziva Hashem. That's why the Torah repeats and reaffirms many, many times the idea of Kasher Tziva Hashem as Moshe. Now take a look at these tokens, Perek Lamed Namates, Pasuk Mem Beis and Mem Gimel. Here the Torah says, Kechol Asher Tziva Hashem as Moshe, Kein Osu B'nei Yisrael Eitz Kol HaAvodah. So exactly what Hashem instructed Moshe Rabbeinu, that's how Klal Yisrael carried out the Avodah. And he translated the word Avodah? The work. Next Pasuk, Vayar Moshe Eitz Kol HaMelachah. They carry it out. The question, of course, is that these two psukim seem to be tautological in nature. That is to say, there's a redundancy here. One pasuk is superfluous. The first pasuk tells, "Kechol Asher Tziva Hashem es Moshe," exactly what they were commanded. That's what they did. And the next pasuk says, "Moshe sees the malacha." And they did it the way Hashem instructed them to do, and they, as a result, they received the bracha. I would have, shall we say, combined these two psukim and read it, if you will, written the pasuk in the following way: Kichol Hashem Tziva Hashem es Moshe, Kein Osu B'nei Yisrael Kol Ha'Avoda, Vayevarachem. Why did the Torah see the necessity to somehow divide the into two and? What's even further troubling are two terms, the term avoda and the term malacha. What's the distinction between these two terms? The first pasuk it says, Kein osu b'nei Yisrael eskol ha'avoda, and the second pasuk says, Vayar Moshe eskol ha'malacha. There are many different explanations. I want to share with you the one that I heard from HaGoyin Rav Nevesol Shlita many years ago. When I first started going to Hishmuzin, I used to go one night a week. I went for about 8 years. And I heard most of the sikhos that are today published in 5 volumes on the Torah. And so he suggested the following. There are a number of suggestions. My father, Hashem, had another suggestion. But I'm not going to share with that with you this evening, because that would require a lot of exploration of many psukim in Tanakh, which I cannot do because of constraint of time. However, Rav Nevesol suggested the following. He said, what's the difference between avoda and malacha? So he contended, the word avoda, what is the shorish of that word? Eved, someone said it. Malacha, he claimed, is milashon melech, or milashon nimlach bedaito. Nimlach bedaito means also lashon malchus. I'll give you a mashal to what I'm talking about, you'll understand it better. Let's say that a king decides, or a president decides to build a wall between ourselves and Mexico, which of course they're going to pay for. That's fairly obvious. Whatever billions of dollars are involved, El Presidente de Mexico, he's going to pay for the wall. That's fairly obvious. Self-evident. Elementary. So now, what exactly does he have in mind? Does it mean that he himself, the president, the tweet man, that he's going to be the one, shall we say, who's going to be laying the bricks and the mortar and the cement in order to build this, shall we say, technological wall? Obviously not. His pretty hands will not be involved in any of this kind of work because he is an aristocrat par excellence. He's reached the highest annals of aristocracy. He is sitting Al Kisei Rav Menisa on his high pedestal, on his high throne. However, he obviously is acting as a melech, and Nimlach B'daito, clearly, shall we say, he was consulted, maybe he may even have consulted one or two others, although in the case of the president I'm talking about, I doubt it. Probably consulted Jared and Ivanka, I imagine, whether the wall should be built separating the U.S. from Mexico. And they decided yes. So that is what's called melacha. Melacha b'lashon melech, b'lashon nimrach b'daito. But when push comes to shove, who does the avoda? Who does the actual laying of the bricks and the masonry? The answer is, who does it? What do you call them?
The other guys.
The other guys. Well, he's politically correct. Oh, Hashem. Yeah. This work, whom do you give to?
The layman.
What do you call them?
The layman.
I don't think that term is a proper term. The laborers, I would use that word. Let's not get into trying to be, shall we say, proper. The laborers! And they're going to build a wall. I know the melacha represents what? The idea, the concept, let's use the term of the Shabbos. Meleches machsheves osva Torah. The Gemara Beitzel, correct? The halacha is that when the Torah asid, namatet meleches, has to be meleches machsheves. What does meleches machsheves mean? What does meleches machsheves? What definition of namatet meleches, constructed work? I think I mentioned once, I didn't mention it here perhaps, but I did mention it. Many years ago, I saw a book by a Dayan in England called The Sabbath, a little thin book. Dayan Grunfeld, he was a tremendous Talmud Chacham. Matter of fact, I taught actually his granddaughter here in Eretz Yisrael. So, in another institution, not here. So Dayan Grunfeld wrote a book called The Sabbath. And what's fascinating about that book, I don't know if it's still available, maybe it is. It's a wonderful, absolutely, he's a Talmud Chacham. Also, he wrote several Svarim. He wrote Svarim, Kiddush HaTorah, he wrote on Shemitah, in Yad Yisraelim. He was a Dayan in England. He goes through every malacha, defines the malacha, and then provides dugmaot, examples of each malacha. However, his main intent of the Sefer, which is approximately 40, 50 pages, is really one intent. He wants to define what's called malachim mashavas. That's his interest in the whole Sefer. And all the examples he gives are just out to, and it's essentially based on the Abinezer. The Abinezer says, just to give you, I'm going a bit off the topic, but I want to get malachim mashavas also Torah. The Abnezer comments on the Tesis in Shabbos. You probably know this Tesis, the Abnezer Menal. Usually we start learning Masechta. Sukkah, I think most of us have seen the Abnezer Menal. So Shabbos, the Abnezer Menal, Tesis has a comment that when it comes to all the Toldos and Ovos of Shabbos, they have to be learned out from Sukkah. Why? Because there's one of the Malachas of Hotzah, that's the one that has to be learned out from Sukkah, is what Tesis calls Malacha Grua. What does it mean, Malacha Grua? It's a bad Malacha. Why is Hotzah a bad Malacha? It's a very poor translation. The answer is because Abinezer defines malacha as something that effects a change in an object. For example, chavisha. What do I do when I do chavisha? When I plow the ground, I make a furrow in the ground, I soften the ground. Ripuyara. That's how the Gemara defines it. What do I do when I cook something? Bishul. What's bishul? I effect a change in the object, correct? I'm changing the state of the object. And so on and so on. Hotzah, there's no change in the object. I moved object from domain A to domain B. Rishus Rabbi, Rishus Yachid. Yachid to Rabbi, correct? To Akamos, whoever it may be. So where's the Malacha? So the Texas calls it Malacha Grua. So he says the following. Grunfeld, that is Grunfeld's Atzal. He says if a person were to go ahead in this house and move around furniture, heavy furniture, I decide on Shabbos, I have a day off, time to move my furniture, and I start moving things around. Am I over on any Yisro Hotzah?
No.
No. All the cabinets and heavy furniture that were moved around are still in my house. Is that a proper thing to do on Shabbos? Clearly not. You'll say it's not Shabbos day. Maybe it's a zilzul of Shabbos. Maybe you're over on the Ramban and Chumash Shabbosom, and a Ramban, a few other Rishonim. But you didn't do anything. You didn't do any malach. And if I take a pin in an area that has no air, and I take it out to Rishus HaRabim, what's the din? I'm over in Isra Daraisa Motzah. Why? Meleches Hashem Asasa Torah. Okay, I'm just using that as an example to describe what exactly the Torah says over here. Look back at the Pesukim now. Mem Beis. So the Torah says, Kechol Asher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe, Kein Osim Ben Eisel Es Kol HaAvoda. Namely, what Avoda are we talking about? The work of labor. Crushing, Yerios, Aron, Shulchan, all the different Kalim and the purchases of the Mishka that were constructed. But, in effect, Vayar Moshe es kol ha-melacha. Who surveyed or who overviewed or who, shall we say, gave an appraisal of the entire enterprise? That was Moshe Rabbeinu. So what did Moshe Rabbeinu see in front of him? Melacha. What does melacha mean? The machshava, or if you will, the architectural, grandiose design, the overall scheme. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu saw. Hashem ki diavoda refers to the particulars, the labor that went into the masonry, the plumbing, the fixtures, the electric work, the mechanical work. You get my gist. That's the distinction, said Rabbi Nevinson, between avodah and melacha. So, again, let's use the example I just gave from Dayan Grunfeld, which I think is a regular example. Namely, Dayan Grunfeld would suggest, if I go ahead and I, shall we say, move a cabinet to my house. So what in effect am I doing? What would you call that? Avodah. But if I take a pin and carry it from Shus HaRavim to Shus HaRavim, what is that called? That's called Malacha. And that should not be done on Shabbos. You do that on Shabbos, you have skila. Because Shabbos, what is the Isra? What does the Torah say when it comes to Shabbos? Lo saseh kol melacha. Torah doesn't say lo saseh kol avoda. You get my point? It says lo saseh kol melacha. And the Gemara in Beit Sadaf Yigimel, that's what the Gemara learns out, melachim b'ashevah sasvat Torah, this idea that you're over melachim of Shabbos, if you do it, melachim b'ashevah. So, in effect, to go and effect something, a change in an object, or to create something new, if you will, that is something which is, again, in the gather of melacha, as opposed to being in the gather of avodah. Okay, the reason why I'm saying all this is because I just want to point out a number of things. And now if you have a chumash, again, Bamidbar, look at Bamidbar for a second. You'll see in Bamidbar, the Torah has in a pasha of Mekoshesh Eitzim, someone who was Mechal Shabbos. Bamidbar, it should be in Shlach, it's still there. Perek Tetzvot, Pasal Lama Beis. Perek Tetzvot, Pasal Lama Beis. In Shlach, the Torah says, Vayu B'nei Yisrael Bamidbar, Vayitzu Ish, they found someone, Mekoshesh Eitzim, B'yom HaShabbos. Now, because Mendel is here, and because you're also here, so you have just, shall we say, aroused in me the Zoya HaKadosh. It says in the Zoya, on this pasuk, that these Eitzim, that the Mekoshesh cut, by the way, what was he over on? What's the Isra of Mekoshesh Eitzim Yom HaShabbos? I assume you're familiar with the parsha a little. Let's just read it. By Akriv also Amotzim also Mekoshi Sheitzim. They brought him to Moshe and Aaron, and they didn't know what to do. And Hashem told him, Mosi Masaish, Rogom also Babanu Kalaida. What's that called? What's that punishment called? Skila. He should be stoned. Why? Because it's Chal Shabbos. And Chil Shabbos requires Skila. I'm not going to go right down to the what the particular Isser was involved. The Gemara discusses that. It's not my issue right now. But that's what the Torah describes over here. And they went out and they actually went and stole it. It says in the Zoya HaKadosh the following statement. I heard this Zoya from my grandfather, Zohar Mivrach. The Zohar says that these Eitzim were not stop Eitzim, There was the Eitz HaChaim and the Eitz HaDas. What are the Eitz HaChaim and Eitz HaDas? You remember them? Where do they appear? In what Pasha?
Bereishis.
And okay, let's not get into it. What were the Eitz HaChaim and Eitz HaDas? What did Hashem tell them in Rishon? To eat from what and not to eat from what? Torah describes Eitz HaChaim Mitzvah Chagan Veitz HaDas Tov V'ra. And what did Hashem tell them? Not to eat from the Eitz HaDas. Correct? How is it possible to cut Eitzim from the Eitz HaChaim and the Eitz HaDas? These Eitzim are in Gan Eden. I think the security there in Gan Eden is, I would say, quite good. I imagine that the security guard there is the Almighty Himself. I would imagine. As a matter of fact, if you take one of the Bereishis, if you have a Chumash, you can actually see it. In Bereishis, one second, in Perek, Gimel, thank you. Yosef. We have a four Shlema. Perek Gimel, Pasuk Avdali. It says, Vayigoresh Esodom, Vayashkin Mikem Megadin and Vesakubin. V'eslat acher v'misapeches v'shmor adorach Eitz HaChaim. So the Shmira there is quite good. So how did this Mekoshish get there? If you have this lat hacherev hamisapeches, how do you translate that? This sword that is, shall we say, somehow in flames. So the Zohar says that this mekoshesh was not actually cutting wood from the Eitz HaChaim, from the Eitz HaDas, but it was all apparently in his head, in his mind. What does that mean? The Lashon of the Zohar, as I went looking for the Zohar, it's actually found in Perek Gimel, Kuf Nun Zayin Amud Aleph. I happen to own the Zohar. It says in the Zohar, Havadayik al ilein ilonin hei minayu rab al achra. Because he was trying to figure out which eitz is more chashim than the other one. Is the Eitz HaChaim more chashim than the Eitz HaDas? Vice versa. By the way, the word mekoshesh comes from the lashon of hekesh or hashvah, just like Chazal compared two things one to the other. So that's the question. Of course, we're talking about this. All seems to be very cryptic, but every cryptic item also has a nigla element to it. You'll discuss it with my rebbe over here, and he'll tell you that's the case. So, what is the union of the Eitz HaChaim and the Eitz HaDas? The answer is the Eitz HaChaim is kulo kodesh Hashem. Basically, there's no das of Tov V'ra in the Eitz HaChaim, that we know from Rashi. If you look at Rashi in Berak Beis and Bereishis, Pasuk Tes. If you look at Berak Beis, Pasuk Tes. There it says, Vayaslach Hashem Ophi Yitz Adoma, Kol Eitz Nechma Lamara, V'Tov V'Macho, V'Eitz HaChaim is Sochagon. The Eitz HaChaim has nothing to do with Tov V'Ra. Correct? But the Eitz HaDas, of course, has to do with Tov V'Ra. What does that mean? Tov V'Ra means that I have what? Bechira. What does Bechira mean? I have free choice. I have the ability to choose either to do good or chas v'shalom do against the Ratzon Hashem. So now I'm asking you a very fundamental philosophic question, which is a very important question from our Hashgacha standpoint. Which type of Avodas Hashem is more marbe kvod shamayim? That is to say, when I lose my bechira, when I have no bechira, when I literally am at a point where the Rabban writes in Nitzavim, you know the Rabban Nitzavim, Rabban writes over there, he tells you that the ideal madrega is to completely lose your bechira. That you're on such a kivun of tov, of good, that you can't possibly commit a sin. I saw the other day on Purim, a Purim spiel, very fascinating Purim spiel. And there was somebody who was, shall we say, simulating the Rosh Hashiva of Torah Shvarna. And he quoted Harav Soloveitchik, the Chassad Lidracha, along the following lines. How is it possible for someone to do an Aveda when the Ribbono Shel Olam is hovering over me 24/7? There's no Hesed Hadas. I saw that in the Purim Spiel, if I'm not mistaken. So now the question is, what is it better? Is it better to be in that situation where you can't do an Aveda because you, shall we say, discipline your Yetzer Hara and totally controlled it and domesticated it and squelched it? S-Q-U-E-L-C-H-E-D. Squelched it. Contained it. Disarmed it. There was a Rosh Yeshiva who came here a week or two ago, Rabbi Yeager. He seems to be in my, shall we say, camp. He says words that obviously no one knows what they mean, and then he spells them. Have you noticed? There's a Rabbi Rimmel in the Yeshiva, he pointed it out to me. He says, just like Rosh Yeshiva. I thought so also. Anyway, or is it better that a person is in a situation where you have the ability to make a choice? Where you are constantly confronted by challenges, and you have to decide, am I going to Tzad HaTov? Am I going to Tzad HaRa? So, offhand, I would say that isn't there greater Kol Shamayim when I have a choice? If a person has a choice to do Tov or Ra, and now, Baruch Hashem, you decided, because you learned in Yeshiva, and you're studying Torah, you decided, Yayetza HaTov, shall we say, trumps Yayetza HaRa, my favorite word, and as a result, you choose the right way. So isn't that a better situation than to be an automaton? A-U-T-O-M-A-T-O-N. To be an electronic robot who just does things, shall we say, instinctively and automatically because you are, shall we say, what's the word? Prime? How do they say it?
Brainwashed.
Not brainwashed. I don't want to use that word. Some people, their brain TVs are washing. But I'm saying, but because you are, the way they set you up.
Program.
Thank you. That's the word. Shekaya. Need someone from Chicago who knows some English. So what's the truth? From a Hashkafic standpoint, there's no question that if a person is in a situation where he can literally, Rahman al-Tzad, not carry out the Rasan Hashem and do an Avera, that is a Chil Hashem Shein Kamo. Ein Kamo, a person does an Avera, what a Chil Hashem. Terrible Chil Hashem. And therefore, it's clear. Why is the fact that I have a choice called a Chil Hashem? I'll give you again, Mashal Mahadam Adayma. Let's say a war breaks out between the different countries. I'm talking about, let's say, a war breaks out between, between England and Germany. And now the English chief general of the English army, that he decides, should I support England or should I support Germany? What are you going to say about such a chief general? How would you describe that chap? A rather treacherous fellow. A renegade of the First Order, full of skullduggery. Would you not say so? This gentleman, he's a Merib Malchus. What should he do? He should immediately gather all the weapons and all the soldiers at his disposal and obviously go to war and not, shall we say, decide, am I in favor of England or am I in favor of Germany? That would be absolutely despicable. A despicable renegade he would be if he were to make such a decision. In other words, basically, any kind of equivocation on his part, any kind of even hearer to go on the other side would be absolutely, as I said, unconscionable. So too, if a person has a havamina, that's what Rabbi Soloveitchik would say, if a person has a havamina, to commit a chet, to do an avera, the fact that a person says, shall I, here I have a chance now to be Mechal Shabbos. And I'm going to derive a lot of pleasure from being Mechal Shabbos. So shall I do so? Shall I not be Mechal Shabbos? Shall I eat kosher? Shall I not eat kosher? That itself is literally an act of rebelliousness, an act of merit against Ribbono Shel Olam. So that apparently was the tolos of Adar Rishon. What was the chet of Adar Rishon? The chet was that because of the nachash, because of the snake, he decided to go ahead and not operate as an automaton, not operate as someone who's a robot, who's electronically programmed, as Ari mentioned, to go ahead and carry out the Ratzon Hashem without bechira. Because what did the nachash say? The nachash said the following. She told, I don't know, nachash is feminine, masculine, neuter. The nachash told the isha, without the Eitz HaRa, namely, how do you get an Eitz HaRa? By eating from where? The Eitz HaDas. So, without the Eitz HaRa, yeah, Baruch Hashem, you're not a Baal Madrega. It's not Chachma to be Mekayim Mitzvahs, when that's all you do is to do Mitzvahs. If you're programmed to do Mitzvahs, and that's all you can do is do Mitzvahs, so then what's the big deal? You have no Eitz HaRa. On the contrary, if I have Eitz HaRa, and I'm able to struggle, and to overcome it, from time to time I falter, from time to time I fall, and someone told me, Sheva Yipol Tzadik Vikom. A Tzadik falls 7 times, but then gets up. That's much more chashuv. Then you're about madrega. That's what the Nachash argued. So what did the other Rishon do? He accepted the time of the Nachash. You all right?
How could he accept that? The Adam
Rishon
accept that if he didn't have a
Jehar
to begin with?
Oh. This Kasha is this by all the Dele Rishonim, and you are now, because of your question, compelled to learn the Sefer Mikta Meleon. Rav Dessler has about 40 pages on this topic. It is a question which is apt. I'm sorry?
He should get reading.
I am asking right after the Shir. I would not waste any time. The kasha isn't, as they say, an eisen akasha. You know what eisen means? Strong as iron. Like a kileg is akasha. When he has akasha in the Gemara, the only way he can answer the kasha is by changing his hanocha, changing the premise of the kileg is kasha. That kasha you ask is an unbelievable kasha, not easily answered. But I'm not answering it or attempting to answer it right now. You'll take a look at the Mishnah Leo. Maybe you'll show him where it is. In the Mishnah Leo, he has 6 volumes today, but it's in the early volumes. I only know the Mishnah Leo, the first 2 volumes. But that's all I had in the yeshiva, and I haven't seen it since. It's Katoya and Maskaya. I'm trying to learn from Mishra Rashi. I hope you'll let me. That's where I'm holding. And I can't even figure that out. I'm having a lot of difficulty. I'm serious. You don't believe me. Anyway, the same toast, the Mekoshish Eitzim also made. That's what the Zohar is saying. The issue was, which Eitz is more Choshen? The Eitz HaChaim and the Eitz HaDas. This is the Nigle Pshat in the Zohar. You hear what I'm saying? Who do I hear this from? I'll go into Rav Levin Soloshin. I discussed this Zohar with him. I thought he was going to tell me some Kabbalistic secret. He told me this is the issue that's, shall we say, being discussed. Namely, is it better to be an Eved Hashem who is programmed automatically to carry out the Ratzon Hashem and you can't divert from the course? There's no way you can move. Or is it better to have Avodah Mitoch Bechiva, where I'm constantly fighting with my Yetzer Hara? And what was the maskana of the Mekoshesh? Better to have Avodah Mitoch Bechira. And as a result, what happened? It was Mechal Shabbos. I'm going now to the issue of Shabbos, which I want to talk about as well, because as you know, maybe I should just mention one more thing before I mention that this also Rabbi Soloveitchik was very fond of. You know, in Pasha Shlach, we have the story of the Baraglin, who essentially spoke Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael. And if you remember, the Baraglin also, take a look at the Pasha Shlach. You have a Shlach for a second? In Bamidbar Perek Yud Gimel, Bamidbar Yud Gimel, the beginning of Shlach, the Zohar also comments on it. The Zohar says they wanted to take from the Eitz HaChayim. That's the Lashon Zohar over here. In the Pasha Shlach. That is to say, they ended up bringing Tainim, Rimonim, Anovim. The Baraglim took Dafka from the Tainim and the Rimonim and the Anovim, which are basically totally on what? On the Eitz HaDas, Tovara. That means that the Baraglim essentially, they wanted to be Ovid Hashem and the Matzah of Bechira, Ben Tovara. That's why they want to go to Eretz Yisrael. You know why? Because Eretz Yisrael is how described in the Torah, Eretz Asher Eini Hashem Elokecha Bo. It's directly under the Hashkocha of Hashem Yisbarach. You are connecting with the Shechina. The Hashkocha, as you know, is much more begolah in Eretz Yisrael than it is in Chutz Laaretz, because as you know very well, the Mishnah writes in Pergiyonos, the Gemara says in Yuma, that there were constant nisim that took place in the Beis HaMikdash, in Yerushalayim, and the rest of Eretz Yisrael also has nisim. However, the Ramban points out that the Hashkocha of Hashem is brought in Eretz Yisrael applied not only to us, who's us, Jews, but even to whom? The nations that inhabit Eretz Yisrael. The Umas HaElam, the Ramban writes that there were cities in Chutz Laaretz that were not better than Sdom Va'Amora, and yet they were not destroyed because they were in Chutz Laaretz. Why? The Rabban says because the Hashkoch in Chutz Laaretz, in Chicago, and in Teaneck, and even in Flatbush, Ir HaKodesh, where all the S.Y.s live, is not so goldy. Sdom Va'Amora, where were they? Sdom Va'Amora, in which country? In Eretz Yisrael. And that's why HaKodesh Baruch Hu, when Sdom and Amor did what they did, whatever the chet was, Hashem Yisbarach could not possibly countenance their chet. And Klal Yisrael, if we chas v'sholom divert from the course of Torah and Mitzvahs, we won't be able to survive in Eretz Yisrael. In Chutz Laaretz, no problem. Teaneck, Miami, Flatbush, Monty, where it says in my benching, Uvnei Monty Ir HaKodesh, Pnei V'Yameinu. Muncie, even if they divert from the course, Chas V'Shalom will still be around. Because without Evergreen, who can survive? But in Eretz Yisrael, Evergreen is a massive store. I was there once. I arrived on the scene. I wanted to buy something to my host. I was staying in Muncie for Shabbos. They told me, go to Evergreen. I couldn't imagine it was open. It was 15 minutes before Shabbos. I went there. I thought it was like 9 o'clock in the morning. The place was jam-packed. I couldn't believe what's going on. Is that such a thing possible in Eretz Yisrael? No way, Jose. Every store here is closed 2 hours before Shabbos. 3 hours before Shabbos. In Eretz Yisrael, there's no kiyum without observing Torah and mitzvahs. The Torah tells us again and again. And those digolos is not an onesh. When the Torah says that if we don't observe mitzvahs in ourselves, we're going to be exiled. We'll be exiled. So in effect, what is the Torah telling us? It's a hatzalah for Klal Yisrael. Because in Eretz Yisrael, you can't exist without Torah and mitzvahs. In Chutz Laaretz, there's no problem. You can exist without Torah and mitzvahs, even in Chicago. And Chicago will remain. So therefore, what did the Rambam decide? They decided, where is it better to be? Where is it better to be? In Chutz Laaretz. There are different pshatim in Rishayim. But according to one Mahalach, better to be in Chutz Laaretz than the Midbar. Why? Because Hester Ponim, there's no Hashkocha of Hashem is Barach. There's no Gilui Shechina, much better. Why do I have to go in a place where there's Gilui Shechina and then my life is very, very dangerous? I don't want to be living in danger. And that's an error. That's a toast. Hashem wants us to do just the opposite. And the Ramban discusses this by Rikos, the Ramban, and by Yikra, the Perak Yudches, Pasuk Chafei. I want to see the Ramban. So, now let's go to the main issue I wanted to talk about this evening, which is the issue of Shabbos. The Torah has repeated the idea of Shabbos many, many times in Chumash. Let me hear how many times you can tell me Shabbos is found in Chumash. First time? Bereishis. Correct? Parsha Bereishis. Next, after Parsha Bereishis, what else is Shabbos described? Any other time of Bereishis, did there mention of Shabbos? No. Good. Shmos. Mm-hmm. Where is Shabbos described? Mishalach. Unquestionably. Mishalach. The Parsha Man. Ruki Hashem Rasa Lachem Esa Shabbos. Alkeinu Nosein Lachem Bayom Hashish Shalachem Yomoyim. Shvu Yishtachtov. Ayetze Yishkim Koma Bayom Hashvi. Vayish Kishu Bina Yisrael. Thank you. After Mishalach, which is Parsha number 2, where else is it found next? Yisrael. What's in Yisrael? Zochas Yom HaShabbos HaKadshim. Azev Zadibros. After Yisrael, Mishpatim. Also a reference to Shabbos. Vayom HaShvi Tishbos. That's number 4. Next. Kisisa. We just read it. It's Per Shabbos. Nochamol Shabbos. Ki Yisi Ben Yir Ben Echem Vadaski Ani Hashem HaKadishchem. Number 5. So you would think that Shabbos has been mentioned a sufficient number of times. Guess what happens in the beginning of Vayakra? Nochamol Shabbos. Why? We just read about Shabbos in Kisisa. Beginning of Vayakra, Vayakra Moshe is called Adas Meneso, Vayomer Adayem, Zeh Adom HaShatzir, wherever we are to. Eil Adom HaShatzir, Hashem Lasso Osam, Shem Shashyomim, Deyosu Malacha. Vayom HaShri, Yolachem Kodesh, Shabbos, Shabbos, Hashem, Kolosu Bo, Malacha Yumas. Why? Upon the heels of Kisisa. Why the need for once again Shabbos? And where else does Shabbos come up again? Is Shabbos mentioned by Yikra? Parshas Emor. The first Yom Tov that's mentioned is Shabbos. Rashi quotes it on the spot. That's number 7. And where's the 8th time Shabbos is mentioned? In Sefer Dvarim, in obviously Vayeschanan, Aseret Hadibros, Shomos, Yom Shabbos Lekatcha. So we have 9 times Shabbos is mentioned in Chumash. Each time we have to understand why Shabbos is found there. But here, I'll just tell you simply what the Beis Halevi comments. Beis Halevi says that you'll notice that Kisisa has Shabbos. But before Kisisa, the Torah tells us about the Mishkan. And now what happened in Kisisa? A terrible chet occurred. What chet was that? The chet ego. So as a result, what happens? Now the order is being reversed. That's what Beis Halevi says. That in these 3 parashas that I just mentioned, Hashem can tell us about the Mishkan and all the lofty elements that are relevant to the Mishkan. But also the Migdash, Shachani B'Socha. But once the Chet HaEgel occurred, Hashem saw there were missing basics. So even though the order initially was what? Mishkan, Shabbos, now the Chet HaEgel came, we have to reverse it. So what happened at the beginning of Vayakel? First Shabbos, and then we have all the, shall we say, elements of the Mishkan. It's reversed, because Shabbos is so fundamental, so basic to our Emunah, that without Shabbos we can't survive. So Shabbos is really Tchila L'Mikroi Kodesh. We say it in the davening, don't we? What do you say in your davening? Tchila L'Mikroi Kodesh. Do you not say that Kiddush?
I do.
Baruch Hashem. I think Chabad says it also. I'm aware of that. I'm aware of your subtle influences. Chila l'mikroi kodesh. Zeicha l'tzias mitzoyim. But you know, it's very interesting. My father was always, the Gemara actually in Erechim discussed this Shaila, namely, on all the other tongue we say Hallel. Why don't we say Hallel on Shabbos? The Gemara asked the Kashin. The Gemara said that Shabbos is not called the Mayid. My father was bothered by Eli. That Rashi and Emor. Rashi called Shabbos the Mayid. So the answer is, Tvei dinim in Mayid. One with reference to Hallel, one with reference to other aspects of Shabbos, that's what you have to assume. But the fact is we don't say Hallel on Shabbos. What does that mean? Because Hallel, when do we say Hallel? Hallel is this gun connected on this. Whenever there's something supernatural, something metaphysical that happens, so then we say Hallel. Shinu in Teva. What does Shabbos represent? Shabbos represents the Bria that Hashem created, Teva, nature, and all of its elements, correct? What's called Midas Adin, if a tree doesn't undergo photosynthesis, the tree will die. That's what Shabbos is all about. Vayavu kimus kol asher asa b'nei tov mo'od, everything is mushlam, everything works with Chuki HaTeva. So because Shabbos testifies to the Chuki HaTeva, that's why, by the way, there's one carbon that's not brought on Shabbos. There's a carbon that's brought actually on Yom Tov, but that carbon is not brought on Shabbos. On Shabbos we don't bring a certain carbon that has to do with Chet. What carbon is that? Chatos. In the Musabim of Shabbos, you will not find a carbon chatos. What do you find? Only a carbon ola. Other moadim, all the other yamatovim, you have a carbon chatos. You know why? Because every moed is a consequence of what? Of chet. Let's go down the line. Rosh Chodesh was a consequence of what chet? The Gemara call it. Rashi called it the Bereishis. Chet Talavano. Do you remember the sun and the moon? You recall the tug of war between them? And the Torah describes it, alludes to it, the Rashi refers to that Gemara and Kulin. So because of the Chet, that is why we have a Karban Chatas of Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Hashanah, we bring a Karban Chatas. What happened in Rosh Hashanah? Which Chet occurred in Rosh Hashanah? Other Arishon. That Chet occurred in Rosh Hashanah. Chet HaEgel occurred, as is associated with which Yom Tov? Yom Kippur. Rashi. I told you, that's all I do is learn Chumash and Rashi. So Rashi points out that Yom Kippur is associated with the Chet HaEgel. So the Chartoim actually caused us to go down to Mitzrayim, and we had to, Hashem had to take us out, that's of course Pesach, and we walked in the Midbar Avayim Shona, and you know the Gemara says in Sukkah, that Yeral Vim Abayim, Machol Bishanoim, Sukkah's Mamash, Ranani HaKavad, I assume you chazed the Masechta. So that also, all these are Chatoyim, and that's why, in effect, everything is involved with what? With Karban Chatas. But Shabbos is completely Sholem. There's no need for Chatas, there's no element of Nes, it's all Teva, it's all the way Hashem created the Teva in all the beautiful way. And that's, by the way, there's a tefillah we don't say on Shabbos that we say on Yom Tov. What tefillah do we say on Yom Tov in Musaf that we don't say on Shabbos? Mipnei Chata'enu Golino. Does anybody hear daven? Mipnei Chata'enu Golino Me'arteinu. We say that on when? On Musaf of Yom Tov, but not on Shabbos. Why? Musaf Rosh Chodesh, when Rosh Chodesh falls out on Shabbos, we say, L'vishe chatonu l'fadecha, anachdu v'avoseinu, chavar yireinu, v'shom v'beis v'doshenu, because of Rosh Chodesh. But on a regular Shabbos, we say, Yivatsum l'fadecha, Hashem l'okeinu, l'okei avoseinu, shetalinu, v'simcha li'arteinu, I've got us what we say. V'shom nasa v'neos, kovenos chavoseinu, we don't mention chay, we don't mention churban, there's no vidui on Shabbos, on chet, only on Yom Tov, do we mention the idea of chet, the idea of vidui. And those basically, Shabbos represents, if you will, the Gilui Kvod Malchus Shamayim, the ideal state. That's why we always ask Hashem that hopefully He'll bring us to a point, Yom Shekula Shabbos and Lucha L'Chai Yolam. There will be no Yetzer Hara. It will be the ideal Madrega, no Bechira. My Bechira will be in one direction. I just want to end with one pasuk in Nitzavim. I was going to discuss something else, but I didn't realize what time it is. But in, and I have to go to a chasen, I'm sorry, which started at 6:30. Take a look at Dvarim. If you look in the Parsha Dvarim, Sefer Dvarim rather, the very famous Ramban over here, which is kedai to be aware of. The Torah describes at the end of Nitzavim, Perek Lamed, we're going to do tshuva, and what will Hashem do? Perek Lamed, Pasuk Vav. He says, Umar Hashem Elokecha Zavavcha V'Yisalav Zarecha. Hashem will circumcise our hearts. So the Ramban writes over there, quotes the Gemara in Shabbos, have all the time, the sign also, a person who wants to do the right thing, Hashem will give you Siyata Dishmaya. You can take a look at what's happening in the yeshiva. We're seeing beautiful Siyata Dishmaya. People who came to the yeshiva at the beginning of the year, I don't recognize them. They are on an upward trajectory. They're B'nai Aliyah. They're moving in the right direction. So the Ramban says, B'nirim and Aksuvim. Ramban says that initially Hashem gave us Rishus, Lasos Kitsono, to be a Tzadik, to be a Rasha. We have Bechira. Avul Yimais HaMashiach, says the Ramban, there will be no Bechira. We'll all be in only one direction. L'tzad HaTov. That would happen when? In the days of Adam Rishon before the Chek. And the Ramban says our entire function, raison d'etre, is to go back to that matzah of Adam Rishon, Kodem Achet. That's the ideal Madrega, where we lose our Bechira. It's only in one direction, only L'tzad HaTov, and that's what the Pasuk says, Mila Saleh, Shelo Yachmo V'lo Yisaveh. There will no longer be any desire, no longer any sensual desires. V'yoshuv Ha'odam B'zman Ahula She'hoyo Kodem Cheto Shel Adam Rishon. You'll come back to the matzav of Adam Rishon Kodem Achet. So this is the ideal matzav, namely, not that I'm struggling and I falter and I stumble and I have obstacles and I'm challenged. That is not the ideal matzav. The ideal matzav is to strive and work for this utopian kind of situation where my heart will be circumcised and I'll be able to be an Oyev Hashem v'chol levavcha u'v'chol nafshecha u'v'chol nefeshecha.